The Rambam left us yesterday with a history lesson, but an incredibly important lesson in intellectual Jewish history, in terms of the development of halacha. So the first segment of the Hakdam Mishnah, what did Moshe Rabbeinu's yeshiva look like? And then what was the major transition afterwards? And what do we see? The most significant transition is the death of Moshe Rabbeinu, because what changes? What's the main core shift? Right. There's no longer going to be direct transmission of Torah from Moshe. Now the shift is going to be, you have a Shaila, it's no longer, wait, I'll ask the Kodesh Baruch Hu and get back to you. It's, now we're going to operate rather than as Nevi'im, as Chachamim, we're going to roll up our sleeves and figure it out. And he said, and in building kernels of ideas that are going to develop more as we move on, from this point on, either you know figure out din from Kabbalah, or you figure out din from Drasha. Either you have a tradition that this is what the din is, or it could be a traditional Lacha Moshe Sinai, or it could be a tradition from the more recent Chacham, or else we don't know what the din is. Good question. So let's work on it. Let's open Chumashim. Let's think about the Torah, Midrash Torah Drashas Mem, and let's try to figure out the din. But and you have a Machloka, and then remember he said Machlokas is built in. If that's the nature of the system, but then it's going to generate machlokas, because if it's derivational, if it's hermeneutic, like fancy words, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants Chachmei HaTorah to look at Chumash and use it, the Mishnah Torah addresses them to try to figure out, to discover the dinim, to mine the Chumash for the nuggets of meaning that HaKadosh Baruch Hu left there, so but the nature of the system is such that you're going to have situations where good men can differ and come to different conclusions, different attempts to figure out what is the emes that Kadosh Baruch Hu placed in the Torah. What was that Kadosh Baruch Hu thinking? And you're going to end up with machlokas. And the way we're going to resolve it is either we'll talk about a debate and eventually one side agrees to the other side, or we'll go to a vote. Acher Abu Latas. And here we pick up on page Chavtes with what we don't do. The dot, the big letter B. The Da says we have to know. Ki hanevua eina mo'ila b'iyun b'feirush haTorah. What we do is chachma. We act as chachamim. We work as chachamim, and we analyze the dinim. We try to figure out what was the Kadosh Baruch Hu thinking. We no longer, since death of Moshe Rabbeinu, rely on nevua. It's no longer effective. Eina mo'ila b'iyun b'feirush haTorah. In trying to analyze, understand, and interpret the Chumash. Uvahotzas ha'anafim b'sholshes ha'nidos. You can't even use, now you cannot just use Nebuah straight, you can't even use Nebuah sounds like together with Yigil Mishnah Gershon Ben. But it can't even be that we're learning to work on it, and then, well, what's the most famous example of that? The story in the Gemara, where there were Chacham who were working as Chacham, and Yigil Mishnah Gershon Ben, and then one of them, right, exactly, the famous Gemara Tanur Shalachnai, they're arguing about some, which to us is an obscure Tumma Tara Shaila, to them it was not at all. To them it was like the latest piece of technology. Like, oh, can you use the Shabbos oven to Yantif or not? Yeah, this like Tanur Shaila, this prefab oven is the Makabal Tumma. Very relevant. If you're living in a time when Tumma Tara is Halacha L'masa, you want to know if you have it. Maybe I should invest in that oven, and then I want to throw right Tumma Tara in the kitchen. Well, that's big machlokes your blood of Chachamim. Is Tanur Shalachnai, which is a oven that instead of being one single piece of pottery with like ring, a stack of rings that were attached, you would build it in the kitchen. It's some assembly required. Is that makabel tumah or not? That was a big machlokes. Halachah ma'aseh, big machlokes by the Chachamim, arguing back and forth and back and forth and back and forth and discussing the issue, looking back at the at other subjects and trying to figure out and debating, and they did not resolve it. In other words, Rabbi Lezer can remain convinced of his sheet, and other Chachamim, Rabbi Yeshua, and the other remain convinced of their sheet, which is fine. So then what we're supposed to do is vote. After Amlatas, we argued, we debated, each side's entitled to their opinion, and now we have to be open to the opinion and decide. And Lazar's like, no way, I'm convinced I'm right. So what does he do, the Gemara says? He said, he begins to bring supernatural proof. He says, well, if I'm right, then this may should happen. If I'm right, that is it. The water should flow backwards. And then the water, then the tree should move. And the walls of the Beis HaMedrash should prove it. And they start, or it's described as the walls start to quiver. And Yeshua says, so look, excuse me, Who invited you to this debate? This is debating the Chachmei HaTorah. You don't belong here. You know, it describes the world sort of frozen place. Like we were just talking yesterday in Hilchos Mezuzah, right? The Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos, where the mezuzah should be vertical, like this, horizontal, like this. So we have it at an angle. That's how Gemara describes the walls. The blessed one, the walls to fall down. The Meshuvah one, the walls to stand up. They already start falling a little bit. Frozen place. Shav al tas. So, and then finally, there's a baskal, a voice from Shemayim says, "Alach kablaz b'chamakim." I'm going to Yeshua on Raglav. Gemara says, "Very dramatic." Yeshua gets up and says, "We don't care. We don't care." Kadosh Baruch Hu tells us in the Chumash, "Lo b'Shemayim," and this is a Nisayim. Just like the here, it's not the same, but maybe perhaps somewhat similar. Not the same, to be clear, but somewhat similar to Pesukim earlier in Chumash Devarim. Lo b'Shemayim is in Parshas Vayigela, right? The very end. But earlier, I think it's Parshas for A, maybe, the Torah talks about Navi HaShaker. The Torah says that maybe a Jew is going to come and he's going to be Misnavi B'Shem of Avodah Zarah or encourage us to worship. We're going to get that he's wrapped the Torah very soon. And he may even do tricks and he may do Nisim. And the Chumash says, if Yeshu shows up and walks on water and turns. Makes bread and fish fly out of the hat, and it doesn't matter. Says the Chumash. The same Mashiach says the Chumash. In Tokrei Shlomo. Chumash says, now you'll say, where does Nisan come from? The answer is, Ki Menaseh Hashem Akeh Kamasem. It's a Nisan. Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Navi Sheker the ability to do tricks. To see, are you going to follow what says in the Torah, or are you listening to the Navi Sheker? To be sure, it's not the same thing. Unless it was not a Navi Sheker, no, it was Zara involved. But Yeshua says, I don't care about tricks. I don't care about baskal. Kadosh Baruch Hu told us, Nebuah doesn't matter. We don't use supernatural means to determine what the din is. Even in conjunction, the Rambam is saying, not only do you not just stop voting up that's what the din is, you can't even use Nebuah in conjunction with your Kadosh Baruch Hu. They're already arguing that they said Adrish. But then if he doesn't want to bring in something supernatural to show that his sheet is right, Rambam says here back in the second line of the paragraph, the first line, we don't use Nebuah, it's not moel in interpreting the Chumash, or even, not in that directly interpreting the Chumash. You can't say, oh, I had Nebuah last night, Kadosh Baruch Hu told me that this pasuk means whatever. You can't even use it together with Hatzoas Ha'anafim B'Shloshes Re'Levis. Deriving the branches, the details, using the Mishnah Tradition. And by the way, saying using the same language used before, Peirush is sort of like the core interpretation of each mitzvah, and then often are the additional limbs, additional branches, are words given to Moshe Rabbeinu. Ella, here's the famous line Rambam uses, Mashiyasu Yoshua Pinchas. Ve'inyan ha'ir ve'hekesh, hu asher yasu Rabbeinu Rashi. What Yoshua and Pinchas did in terms of analyzing the dinim, that's what Rabbeinu Rashi did. It's fundamentally, that maybe is that. Rabbeinu Rashi may be talking Aramaic, Yeshua and Pinchas were doubtlessly speaking Hebrew, and they've expressed themselves differently, but fundamentally the same thing. And if you think about, by the way, the significance of those names, is, everybody told you yesterday, Ram has his list of 40 links in the chain, from Moshe and Pia Gura all the way until link number 40 is to Rabbeinu Rashi, the end of the period of Gemara. The Rambam is now going to say link 2 and link 40 are the same. Moshe is different. And Moshe was not the same. Moshe did get Nebuah from Kadosh Baruch Hu, got Torah through Nebuah. But one generation later, 39 generations later, it's all fundamentally all the same. Yeshua and Pinchas, Rabbeinu Rashi, Yeshua was a Navi. Rabbeinu Rashi were not Navi. That's true. But in terms of learning in the Beis HaMedrash, in terms of Psak Halacha, in terms of interpreting the Chumash, Nebuah doesn't play a role. So Rabbi says, now you might wonder, one second, so is Nebuah like irrelevant? Is there no significance to Nebuah? He says, no. He says, let's read another line with bits and questions. Avnan, third line, he says, Yisron HaNavi ufa'alov by Torah Mahu. If you want to know what's the advantage of a Navi, what's the Yisron, the Chacham with Nebuah, the Chacham with all do the same thing. So what advantage is there? What does Nebuah have? Ufa'alov by Torah, what's his activity? Well, how does he operate in the scheme of Torah? He says, in case you think what's left, is it insignificant? And I says, absolutely not. Hinehu chei nafshi. I swear, it's min ha'ikarim ha'gedolim ha'atsumim, asher aleim ish'an ha'das v'yisodah. He says, don't get the wrong impression. Nevuah isn't irrelevant. Nevuah isn't unimportant. It is quite to the contrary. When ikarim gedolim ha'atsumim, where the great and powerful roots are the, upon which rest the whole religion. Sha'aleim ish'an ha'das v'yisodah. The whole religion, the halakha, the hashkafa, this is one of the major principles that's a foundational principle for all of Torah. This is the right place. This is the appropriate place for me to explain it. In other words, which is a way of saying, I'm about to go on a tangent. Here's tangent number one in this Hagdama. It will not be the only one, but don't think this tangent is random. This is a very important thing we're going to talk about. It's incredibly important. And I think this is the right place. We're going to take a little break. As the overall framework of the literary framework of the whole Hagdama LaMishnah is chronological. He starts from Moshe Rabbeinu, he takes you all the way through Mishnayos and Gemara until the days of the Rambam. But over the course of that historical framework, he has different pieces that come in. So he starts with Moshe, between Moshe and post-Moshe, it's very important. And then he takes a break for Nevuah. Then he's going to come back after his, well, he says this is a really important topic he's talking about. Here's the perfect place to talk about. We're going to jump into that in a moment, have some questions. He says, after the Nevuah, he's going to pick up the thread, working his way through post Yeshua all the way to Yehuda Anasi. There's going to be more discussion about halacha. And then he can go on to get up to Gemara, then he can talk about Agarata. And then after that, he's going to sort of finish the historical thread to the time when, for the moment that he's writing the Zayn. So he says, this is my first major separate chunk. And we're about to dive in. This is important. This is important. Then we'll return to our basic thread. The guys were ready with questions.
So if like halacha and stuff is like long, like a consistent logical system, then if Hashem were to weigh in on something saying that this is the correct like analysis of the facts, whether or not you say it's bashamayim or lo bashamayim, but you can go against the, or even if you're supposed to go against, right, like, and you should just follow whatever the Rabbanim decide, if you want it to be, like, a consistent system that always follows logic, then why wouldn't you, right, why shouldn't you follow the...
Why should it not be bad? Why isn't it Bashamayim? That's basically what you're asking.
Yeah, or the ultimate goal. If you know something that, if you hear it from Shemayim, you might as well go with that.
Right. You don't even tell the... draws a sketch of the Gemara to know what the terminology means, at least we get the overall message. The Gemara is a machlokas between the HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Yeshiva Shalmala. HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Sifta Derukia are debating a certain point in the Halachas of Tzaras, the Masechus Nagat. The Gemara describes, this is also Gemara Mahatsiyah, the Gemara describes that Rabbi Nachmeni, he's the Gadol Adar of that generation in general, specifically in the world of Megayim. And the Beis HaMedrash Shalmata, in the Amoraim, comes to the conclusion, I believe, like the Masechta Derukia, against the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and he expresses happiness. That's the way the Agadata describes it. The Rabbam paskins against Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Rabbam paskins like, I believe it's Rabbi Nachmeni. So what's the message of that Gemara? So the message of that Gemara speaks to your point, which is, you're right. The goal of every Chacham, a sheet is only valid if it represents that qualified Chacham's best attempt, using everything that he has, that is everything Kadosh Baruch Hu gave him at his disposal. The text of the Chumash and the traditions of Torah Shvat Peh, the Mishnah Torah Dresh Peh, and a mind that's been honed by years of learning, and Yerushalayim, all that whole package, Qualified Chacham puts that whole package at work and comes up with, this is his best attempt at trying to figure out what was Rosh Hashanah thinking when he said this passage. What does Kaddish have in mind, Shemayim? So that's a legitimate Shita. That's included in the concept of Elu ve'Elu Dirikim Chaim, which I think the Rabbis point at least two Nafkaminas. Number one, it's Torah. We don't assume that if you learn one shita, so it's a suffix whether you were Mekayim Talmud Torah. No, if it's a legitimate shita, it is a chesed shel Torah. Learning that is definitely kino Talmud Torah. You don't have to like hedge your bets and learn both shitas, so at least half the time I was learning. And then number two is that it's a, if it's that sort of approach, so then it's a candidate to be the Pesach Halacha Maase. Those are the two of the significances of saying that Eilu Ve'Eilu Devei Kincha. Now, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not only did he give us content rules in Chumash, he also gave us operational rules. Halacha, the halacha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us includes not only what this mitzvah, what that mitzvah, but how to go about, how to judge cases. And I know that's a Parsha Shofet. Right? And the idea of earlier, of Acher HaMorat, those and the idea of Lo Bashomemi. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is building an operational principle. It's saying there's an abstract emes and shomem. Built into the system is you're not always going to know for sure what that abstract emes is, because built into the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose to transmit Torah to us, is it's going to lend itself to Machlokas. And there'll be times when I see, you know, Rav X says this, or Rav Y says this, and Mishtama, one of them is correct. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu built in an operational principle to how he wants us to practice halacha. And one of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's operational principles that he really told us to Moshe Rabbeinu is, I'm telling you now in advance that once Moshe dies, this avenue is shut down. And if you get any messages from Shemayim, I want you to ignore them. Now, we could speculate the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have set up that rule. And I would imagine, if I had to guess, it's because it cuts out a lot of charlatanry. And it cuts out. I can understand practically why this makes. This is a sensible way to, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to build an ongoing, implementable, durable, sustainable halachic system. Because if there's ongoing revelation, so then that lends itself to endless human tinkering under the guise of ongoing revelation. And revelation isn't necessarily checkable in the way that halachic analysis. There's no peer review. So again, that's my speculation. But Lemaisa, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us an operational principle. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us in the Chumash, even if something comes from Shemayim, I want you to ignore it. So then I am doing with Tzon Hashem.
Where do we know that?
Lo Shemayim.
No, I'm saying, how do we know that that's what the intent behind what Lo Shemayim is?
So that was the tradition, that part of the Parashat Pen interpretation
you're making like chakiros down the line, right? Like this is that, and then based on that, there's like another chakira that you make in order to make that fit, and then this, that, whatever, and then in the end, like a halacha comes out of that.
Okay.
So, if you know that, you know, that your end sock is wrong, right? Hashem tells you that it's wrong, so then maybe you made a wrong chakira somewhere, and you're just incorrect.
It could be, but built into the system that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us, because you keep an halacha, that's Ratzon Hashem. But part of Ratzon Hashem is to ignore certain information in coming to a conclusion. It's inadmissible evidence.
Isn't there the capacity to completely distort like halacha then, like over time, if everything can like shift away from like an absolute truth?
In theory, it's possible. So the Kadosh Baruch Hu definitely is very invested in the quality of his Torah. The Gemara says in several places, there's definitely siyata d'shamayim. Kadosh Baruch Hu was involved behind the scenes, so does Shelly Reyev. Kadosh Baruch Hu was definitely involved in the thought processes of Chachmei Torah throughout generations. But Kadosh Baruch Hu told us already in advance, he does not plan to give us any, drop any direct messages, and we should ignore any direct messages that come our way. That's what he does. Doesn't mean that Kadosh Baruch Hu is a clockmaker, is a watchmaker who walked away. But Kadosh Baruch Hu told us in advance. I will tell us more, but we're really getting off of our internet.
Thursday?
Sure. Absolutely.
It's
Thursday night.
The same like kind of.
Okay. Good question?
Just similar. How do we know?
So there was interest in keeping this the tight time frame. So it's hard to keep this tight time frame. Marv.
I mean, this also might be too long. It might just be continued with that on Thursday or whatever. But how do we know that there is absolute truth in Shemayim? It's not just. Those possibilities are equally true or not
one's
not more true.
There are Rishonim who understand that means that the Emes Shemayim is more complex and multidimensional, and different Chachmei Torah are picking up at different pieces of a larger Emes. Okay. I think the standard approach, I think the predominant approach from Yishonim is the way I was presenting, and that seems to be very aligned with the realm of the Pilot. Because Baruch has in mind either X or Y. The argument is it sounds like the other approach. I think the predominant, it is the debate Yishonim. I think the predominant view is that there is an absolute, that there's one approach, and you may have gotten right or wrong, or you're part of it. Let's just begin to get a lick here of what he says about Nebuah. We're going to just get started and we'll continue next time. And I do look forward to continuing the conversation Thursday night about working through Lo Bashamayim. I mean, the truth is, we would do well to wait a little bit because he's going to be talking about that plenty as things unfold in the next couple of pages. Okay. Here, 5 months into the second. What I want to do is explain Nebuah. Explain what? What Nebuah adds? What's the role of Nebuah in the system of Torah, system of Halacha? Post Moshe Nebuah, what does it accomplish? And what's its force and what's its operation? I want to understand this concept of Nebuah. He says, in order to do that, Lo Yitachen La'achar Chalukas Tanos HaNebiim LaNebuah Uvameh Tisameis HaNebuah. In order to really dig into the core question here, like what's Nebuah accomplishing and what's its goal up, I first need to understand how do you become certified to be a Nabi? And which is going to start for, even further back with category, what are the different types of people who claim, Toane Nebuah, who claim to have Nebuah? Not everyone who says he's a Nabi is a Nabi, right? So how do I even know what's the process by which I winnow out who's real from who's not? Not as this logically needs to present, in order to understand what you figure out how a person becomes certified as a Navi, as we're going to see, Rama's going to unpack for us. This itself is a very important idea. So the vast majority of people misunderstand this, and even many of the Yechidim, even many wise Chachamim, don't understand this critical question. How do I know who's a legitimate Navi? What's this mistake? A lot of people think here's an urban legend. Lots of people think that how do I know that the Navi is a real Navi? How does it have to listen to the Navi? How do I know that? If I take the subway in the morning, a fellow sitting next to me says God spoke to him last night. But now he's a Navi. Probably not. Not necessarily. Conceivably. But just because someone says his Navi doesn't mean he is. I have one friend who, he's a Magen Shir in Eretz Yisrael. He was a bit younger. He was taking a train. And a fellow comes over to him on the subway one morning and says, yeah, God spoke to me. His friend of mine says, really? That's so interesting because God spoke to me too last night. What did he tell you? God was taken back and was able to safely move on from that encounter. But Lamaisa, that was a good moment thinking. But Lamaisa, just because someone says Navi, obviously there has to be some process. What's the process? It says most people make the following mistake. Most people think, Connecticut Yankee came out of this court, most people think that if you want to show that someone's a Navi, what do you got to do? Nisim. Eim Choshvim, at the foot of number two, Eim Choshvim ke Nebulot Tzavis L'Torah, Eim ke Yasa, Mopes, most people think that you want to prove someone's you want to prove your Navi, you gotta do something like massive, Mesach, Moshe, like your hand turns away. Yeshana bin Hakusha Olam Dafa. You have to change the way of the world. And you have to do what we call, in Ramban terminology, a Nes Nigma. Kamosha Asa Eliyahu, Bahacha Yosef bin Yishalman. Like the Tchias Abes and Eliyahu did, or Kibamashes Barsem Yosef Elisha. Elisha did many absolute Nisim Gluyim. To make the hammer float and so on and so on. So it's absolutely true that there were Nevi'im in the Tanakh who did Nisim Gluyim. That's true. What's false, says Rambam, is that you need to do that in order to show that you're not. How do you earn your stripes? Is it Iker She'en or not? It's absolutely untrue. He says, Kikamasha, look in the Tanakh. Number one. Kamasha Asra Eliyahu Elisha Mizulasim and Nevi'im and Amosim. It's true that the Tanakh describes different Nevi'im, Eliyahu, Elisha, and others doing Nisim, but you think about what those Nisim, the context, well, what's the Lakim do Kuwasam? Eliyahu didn't do Tchias HaMesim
to prove that he's a Navi. He already was assumed to be a Navi. Elisha didn't make the hammer float when they were building the Beis HaMedrash and the hammer fell into the water and he made it float to the surface. But he didn't do that to prove that he's a Navi. They already were certified Navi well before then. Why they did that with Nisim? No, Asura Sam Mamostim, they should start with him. They did that with Nisim to solve a problem. They lost the hammer, you make the hammer float, and you get your hammer back. The boy died. Now he's back. Now, you and I also have needs. It would be convenient to do Nisim to solve them, but we don't get to do that. These Nevi'im, the Kirvah Sevel Hashem, they were so extraordinarily, remarkably connected to Rav Shalom that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have taught Kirishlam Chavtayim, would give them the Nisim that they desire. Tzaddikim is six zero of Yaakov. That's what Tzaddikim are told. The tzaddik goes there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mekayim. He says, but very, very important. You don't have to do tricks. You don't have to do Nisim. When you see Nisim, this is a point that we made him see earlier in the year about Torah. It points out that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does Nisim, the rabbi says it several times in the Kirish on Torah. Maybe I spoke about Tzaddik. We spoke about Tzaddik. The week from the Tzaddik. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does Nisim to achieve certain results. The class on using Yeshua or a particular person needs something, because what might do is to solve a problem, to get a certain result. But not to demonstrate that this person is another. He says, what else? So far he said, in conversation about the development of Torah Shabbat Peh, this is trace where we're at, we'll wrap up for today. In conversation about the development of Torah Shabbat Peh, that's the overarching theme here. So he took us past Moshe Rabbeinu into the world of Nevu no longer plays a role in Iyun HaTorah. Remember that famous line, the key line? Mashiyasu Yoshua v'pichas bi'iyun v'feirish HaTorah hu shiyasu revina Rashi. Past Moshe Rabbeinu, you're a Navi, you're not a Navi, you understand, you learn Torah as a Chacham. Whether you're a Navi or not, that's separate. What is the role of Nevu? It's okay, well, let's take a step away. Let's take some time out to discuss Nevu. Discuss that. What is the Nevuah? What's it about? What's the goal of the Nevuah? What's the power of the Nevuah in the halakhic system? Maybe perhaps we'll see something else. Rather than more Nevuachim, Nevuachim is sort of like a continuum, different levels. Nevuachim is sort of like a weaker degree. I think he has 10, 11 levels, I think. The short ones are Nevuah, Nevuachim is sort of lower down to the hierarchy. So from the discussion of Torah, the history of Torah Shal Peh, we took a step away to discuss what is Nevuah. And from that, Rambam said, before we can talk what Nevuah is, we first have to understand, we need first to logically develop, how do you become a Navi? How do you certify as a Navi? So he said, it's not what people think. It's not Nisim. Nevi'im do Nisim sometimes. Some Nevi'im do Nisim often. But they didn't need the Nisim. Nisim is necessary nor sufficient. You don't need an ace to prove that you're Navi, and doing an ace, if you do Nisim, it's not going to prove that you're Navi. He says, instead, it's going to be something else. I'm not going to say, I'm going to say, I'm about to explain to you how you do prove Nevuah. It's very different. And he says, in order to do that, you need to take yet another step away from Torah Shabbat Peh, to the essence of Nevuah, to the certification of Nevuah, and then finally to talking about what are the different types of people, how do we categorize the different applicants, the different claimants in Nevuah. And we're going to stop here. We'll pick up tomorrow, see if we're going to begin to break down, to categorize who is a different person. The person comes and says, God told me X. How do we think about that? How do we break that down? From that, we'll come back to talking about how do you, on page 11, begin to build that. And how do you demonstrate who is the, how does the person demonstrate who is a Navi? This can take us into a lot of important issues. We'll come back to Yaakov Avinu, a lot else. And then finally, a couple pages later, we come back to talk about what was a Navi accomplished. Post Gimel, page 11 above, you get back to beyond Yeshua, through the days of the Tanaim, and that's going to take us into the world of more deeply into the world of where does Machlokas come from, what are the different parts of the Torah Shel Peh, what's the role of Halacha Moshe B'Sinai. Rambam has the five categories of the Torah Shel Peh. That is all to come. Good question.
Wasn't like Moshe, Hashem, given things within the
That's a great question. We'll pick up. The rabbi is going to address that later. It is true that Moshe did Nisim in order to demonstrate to show people he was another. I'm going to deal with that, but that wasn't the full. That was a piece of the puzzle. That wasn't the full picture. That also was before Matan Torah, before we had a operating halachic system, and before we had a system of verification that could ultimately be rooted in the verification, the core verification of Mount Har Sinai itself. So that was a very good question.
Rabbi is going to address that going forward. So we're going to pick up with this deeper into the world of Nevuah, and Nevuah claims